sometimes you just have to sit down and like review yourself and see whether the effort that you put in for all these things, is it worth it? Is it not worth it? Is it enough?
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
I'm Haritha Ramesh. I'm a year four uni student from Singapore, from National University of Singapore. And we're all part of this program to bring some of the students from NUS into the Silicon Valley and attach us to some startup and learn from them, basically, all the entrepreneurial skills and all the technical skills and whatnot. So I got the opportunity. The whole process was similar to searching for a job. So you were given a list of companies and you can submit your resumes, get a job and whatnot. And Alan reached out to me. He was interested in my resume.
And who is Alan?
Oh, right. Alan, the CEO of ScriptRock back then. Now it's UpGuard. So he reached out to me, and I think it kind of clicked. Like, after he interviewed me, and I also spoke with him, got to know about UpGuard and whatnot, and I was interested in working here. So I decided to come here, and that starts my journey here.
And now you're on a one-year internship with UpGuard, correct? What was that click factor for you that made you pick UpGuard versus all the other internship opportunities?
Okay, it's a little bit weird, but I got a few interviews from other companies. The interviews were all similar. You know, you have your technical interviews for every engineer. And I got some acceptance from a few other companies. And when I spoke with Alan in UpGuard, I was telling him that I also got some other companies are also looking for me. And the way he wanted me to come over, he's like, oh, no, you can choose here. And then he got, like, everyone. I remember because he got everyone who was around him at that time to be like, hey, do you think Haritha should join ScriptRock? And he's like, yeah, I think she should join ScriptRock. You know, like, okay.
And you guys, ScriptRock was the name. UpGuard was previously known as ScriptRock.
Yeah, so back then he advertised UpGuard by asking the colleagues there, and I saw how friendly they were, and the whole culture. I mean, I could see it in that one little clip, and I found it very funny, and I was like, okay, this is the kind of place I want to work at.
And what? And how long have you been here so far?
I started in Jan, so this is in October. Yeah, I've been here for 10 months, 9 months.
And what will happen when you hit the 1 year mark?
I'll have to go back and finish school.
And then, do you think you'll come back to UpGuard when you're done with school?
I'm considering it. I have one semester left, so they have reached out to me on that. And yes, I'm considering it.
When did you become interested in tech?
I don't know. Some people have this, like, I've always been interested in tech kind of thing. I was, because the Singapore education system, I was just always interested in doing what's next. So I finished grade school, and then, which was called primary school. I finished primary school, then I go to secondary school, and then I go to junior college. Okay, what now? I have to choose university. So it was actually my dad who introduced it to me, because he's in the IT business. He's a IT professional, and he was telling me that he saw that I liked logical thinking and whatnot, and he recommended me to go to computer science. Back then, I didn't really know what computer science was, and I didn't know what exactly coding meant, but I decided, okay, I mean, my dad says so. And I entered university, and I got into the computing school, and I realized that I actually like computing. So, yeah, it was one of those where your dad asked you to go, but he didn't push me. He just said, if you want to, and since you don't know what you want to do, here, I'll give you an idea. So I kind of liked that he was confident enough that I'll be able to do well in this.
And when did you know that you enjoyed it, that it was your calling?
It was the first semester.
What happened?
I like pushing myself, right? So I took, they have the normal module that teaches you basics of computing, because they're very nice that they don't assume that you already know coding. So they give you the basics class. And then there's also another basics class, but it was like a it was more gamified and there were more advanced questions in it. And they said, if you want to, you can apply for that. And usually people who already know a bit of coding apply for it so they can have the advantage and have more fun. But I decided to go for it because it looked interesting. And so my first semester itself was very hectic because there was a lot of coding activities. And I had to start from zero, like from scratch. I didn't know coding at all. And within that 3 months, I suddenly knew how to code.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so...
And what program is this?
This was actually a language that my school created for that, just for that module, but it's a mix of JavaScript and Scheme, if anyone knows Scheme. Yeah.
What is Scheme?
I have no idea. I've never used it.
Okay.
But I know it's a mix of JavaScript and Scheme.
What resources did you turn to accelerate your knowledge base?
Mostly it was... the people around me, the in-class things. Most of my stuff, I didn't really use, like, I don't know, like Code Academy or whatever, because Code Academy seems like it's for people who don't know coding and they want to start from scratch. But since I already know what coding is, most of my resources came from my lecturers, my professors, and my friends around me. So I just asked for help, which is one thing that sometimes you don't do because you think you're being a bother or whatever. But that's another thing I learned here in UpGuard. I'm an intern, right? I don't know everything. So everyone is so helpful. So you can just quickly just go ask for help. And you know who is proficient in whatever. So I just go to that respective person. I can ask for help. And they'll stop what they're doing just to help you. So I really like that they're interested in wanting you to learn. And I also, you know, grew out of my shell of being afraid to ask questions. So, yeah, those my resources are people.
Have you had a mentor?
I wouldn't say I had, like, a personal mentor. I had a professor in my university. She didn't teach me coding, per se, but she was just giving me guidance on, like, career advice and what modules I should take, you know, from then on. It was, like, a more mellow kind of thing. I wouldn't say I had a strict mentor or whatever.
But it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the UpGuard team, yeah, they have a very mentor kind of culture.
Oh, did you mean mentor in UpGuard?
No, I didn't, but it just seems that way. In all the interviews that we've done with UpGuard, it's always the team makes themselves accessible to lean on and ask questions. They're very opening and welcoming to it. Yeah. It's not like, why are you bothering me? It's like, yes, let me support you in becoming better. And that I find very unique. I mean, correct me would you say that's right?
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so we have an engineer called Mark Sheehan, and he takes the effort to, like, write up all these Golang tutorials and whatnot, and he holds... It all started because Alan, the CEO, wanted to allow the interns to learn more, right? Hold sessions for them. So we had another engineer, Shane, give us, like, a review of the Ruby app and everything, and then we had... who else? We had Taylor talk about JavaScript. We had Mark, who had like more than one. He had three or four classes, and he even repeated some of them for the new interns that came in on Golang. And Golang is pretty new. I don't know if it's new, like it's new to me. So I don't know Golang at all. So it was very nice and kind of him to come down and set aside like 2 hours to just teach us a bit of Golang, even though we're not actually going to go and use it back in whatever job we're doing here. So, yes, they are very helpful.
I love it. I've never heard the term, I'm sure it's got to exist, but mentorship culture.
Oh, okay.
And I feel like UpGuard has
everyone's a mentor.
Yeah, I feel like UpGuard kind of promotes a mentorship culture.
I think it does.
I've never heard that, but I definitely would, after listening to you guys, I definitely feel that very strongly, and I'm really impressed by it. Especially in an engineering environment where people are like, let me just stay focused. Like, don't, you know, and it's
don't come to me.
Yeah. And it's it's very welcoming.
And they're often quick to respond. Like sometimes I say, hey, Taylor, when you're free, could you come help me with this JavaScript thing? And then like after 5 minutes, you're just coming like, yeah, hey, what's up?
It's awesome. It's really inspiring. How do you overcome challenges when challenges present themselves to you?
What kind of challenges? I don't know.
In your professional life, what kind of mindset do you have, or how have you overcome challenges in the past?
Okay, I don't know if these are challenges, but it's like introspective thinking. Sometimes you just have to sit down and like review yourself and see whether the effort that you put in for all these things, is it worth it? Is it not worth it? Is it enough? Is it enough? Are you doing, do you think you're doing your best, you know? And when I don't do that, sometimes I have days when I feel like, oh, I feel like this is whatever task I'm doing is just dragging on.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to do it, or I'm just stuck at something. Then that's when I realize I need to stop and just be introspective. I like doing that. I like those, the whole meta thinking. I think about how I'm thinking, you know. So
I think that's key. I think it's important to really have a level of awareness on our own thought processes to see if our thought processes are prohibiting us from achieving what we'd like to achieve.
Yeah, like, so for example, if I feel like I'm procrastinating on something, maybe a task, then instead of just trying to fix the procrastinating, which is just a symptom of like something major, which is maybe I don't want to do that task.
Right.
Yeah, so I try to look back and see, okay, so if I don't want to do the task, what's the problem? Is it because it's too hard? If you're stuck, maybe do you want to ask your manager or you want to ask your colleagues or whatever. So that's what I do. And sometimes I forget to do that. So that's where I feel like maybe I could improve on. I should constantly, when I feel, sometimes I, you know, I'm taken by my emotions. I just feel so sad and upset and I just sit there. And you should just maybe step out of what you're feeling, that current feeling, and think about why you're feeling those things. Just, it's at least a slow step towards trying to fix whatever you're upset about.
Totally.
So that's I guess how I get past my challenges.
Totally.
Yeah.
Have you ever been on a track that you're like, wait, I don't like the direction I'm going in, and then you immediately had to switch it? And what track was that?
I feel like I spent 18 years of my schooling life, 18 years of my age, okay, anyway, a long time of my schooling life, just following what the government set out for me. You know, you go to this school and you go to this school. And I was just aiming that current period of time you have, which is the top school to go to. Let's go to that top school, you know. So I think I might be the kind of person who doesn't mind doing a lot of things. The way I see it, there are two kinds of people. There are people who are very passionate about something. My sister, she's very passionate about art. And being from an Asian family, they asked her to pursue the sciences, obviously. But she didn't want to, and she was adamant about it. And she went through the same schooling system as me, but ended up doing art in college. So I kind of like that. So she's that kind of person. She's a very passionate person.
Right.
And then there are people like me who, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm not passionate. I am. It's just there isn't something that I would be like, this is this one track gold mine that I'm going to go do. It's fine if you want to be that way. If you don't want to be that way, this is what I come to realize. Because a lot of times I felt like, am I not passionate because I don't have that one goal in mind? I mean, there were like subjects that I took in my high school, junior college that I didn't like and I dropped them because I didn't want to do them. But it wasn't like a, like I went to a path where I didn't like where I'm going or whatever. Maybe I just haven't hit that yet.
Right.
Partly could be due to my personality of not having that one track mind that my sister has.
So how would you say is the best, what would you say is the most powerful lesson you've learned when you're pursuing your dreams?
I would say that when you feel like you're in a slump or something, you feel like you're not in the direction of where you want to go. Sometimes, you know, you fall back, right? Try not to think of it as your end goal. Like what you said, you know, with your waitress thing.
Yeah.
You're on the journey and there will, it's like the path to success isn't like one success.
Right.
You will fail.
I wish. Yeah, that would be amazing.
Yeah, easy elevator up, done.
Right. Oh my God, show me where that elevator is. But yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's not one.
I mean,
path.
As cliche as it sounds, I don't know. It's like sometimes you don't know. I mean, you can say it like, yeah, of course, the path to success has a lot of failures. But when you actually fail, you won't remember that. You'll be like, what? But I tried so hard, and I feel like it's like one step forward, two steps back, and you feel like, right, wait, is that a, you know, a downward trend or something? And I don't know. At that point, I would say you just have to, like I said, introspective thing. You just have to push yourself and be like, no, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay to fail, and you know, life just goes on. Do what you want to do. Continue doing that. If you think that path keeps making you fail, maybe tweak it, change some things, ask for help, and then continue. So that's what I would say is my lesson that I've learned.
Awesome. And what's next for you?
What's next for me? Well,
you have 2 months left here.
Yes.
Three.
Two October, months. November. No, I have 2 months.
2 months.
Yeah. It's 10 weeks.
Goes fast.
Yeah. I just finished my third quarterly report, so I have like 10 weeks left, and it's like counting down. I don't want to go back. But let's see. Well, I'll finish school next semester, which would I would graduate in May 2017. Consider coming here, work. I definitely want to come back to the Valley, though. I like the culture here in general and in UpGuard very much.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't think 5 years ahead of me.
I mean, what if you don't mind me asking, you don't have to answer if it's uncomfortable at all. What makes you take pause in not knowing if you'll come back to UpGuard?
It's mainly, no, I really want to come back. There's no one here that's stopping me. Everyone's very friendly. I really want to come back. The only thing I'm, because it's a big decision to make, and I want to talk to my family about it first.
Of course.
I would have to move country and everything. And even though I know I eventually want to work here in Silicon Valley, maybe would I want to work in Singapore for a bit? I don't know. So that's why. Let me tell you, you know this internship, right?
Right.
You have to apply for it. You have to go through some interviews within the school before you go through the job interviews to get the company and then come here. And some people entered university thinking that I'm going to go for this program and
right.
get to the Valley and do things. I only decided to do the program like on the semester that the applications were open for me. So, yeah, I don't know if it's a bad thing, but I'm gonna accept it. But I'm the kind of person who doesn't want to think like 1 year, 2 years ahead, because I feel like I'm changing off every day. I'm changing as a person every day, and my tastes, my everything will change. So I don't want to say that this is where I want to go. So it goes back to the idea of I don't have that one true passion that I'm
right.
following again, which I think is fine. There are people out there who don't have that one true passion, and I have a few friends who don't have that. And I tell them, too, it's fine. Don't put yourself down just because you don't have that one passion. But yeah, so back to this. Because of that, so one is I have to talk to my family, and two, I'm not exactly sure, but I will make my decision maybe when school starts or when I end the internship, because it's closer to the goal then.
And what's been the most valuable learning experience from the internship that you've had here?
I would say that culture is very important.
Yeah, I've definitely learned that.
Like, my previous internship, I didn't really have a good... It wasn't a very good culture. I just went there, did my work, and went home. And I was like, yes, when is it going to be 5 p.m.? You know? And here, I'm happy to come to work. And even during lunch or like when you take a break and you walk around, you can talk to anyone. It doesn't have to be people from your team. It can be anyone else, and they're very friendly. And that... I don't know, that just it just makes this company like a second home, you know?
How can people stay in touch with you?
How can people stay in touch? I don't mind Facebook or LinkedIn, I guess.
Cool, and how can they find you on Facebook and LinkedIn?
Okay, so Facebook, you can type Haritha Ramesh. You spell it as HARITHARAMESH. So it's just that.
Yeah, and we'll include it in the show notes too, you guys.
Okay, it's facebook.com/harskelly. That's like my tag. And LinkedIn is the same. It's my full name. So
awesome.
Yeah, link added in the notes.
Thank you so much for sharing your story with the Women in Tech show.
Okay, thank
it's
you for
awesome.
Having me.
Awesome. Yeah, of course. It was incredible.
This episode of the Women in Tech Show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech. To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech show is hosted by Esprit Devora, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech Show is a WeAreTech.fm production.